And joining us today is Dr. Ben Bova. Ben is six-time winner of the Ugo Award, a former editor of Analog, former editorial director of Omni, and past president of both the National Space Society and the Science Fiction Writers of America. He is the author of more than 100 works of science fiction and fact, including his most recent novel, which is Power Surge. And this is a novel that takes place in Washington, D.C., and this is something that a lot of us, you know, have seen, read about stuff that goes on in Washington, but unless you're there, you don't understand. And I'm not going to give the book away, but basically it's a science advisor who is a newly elected freshman senator, and Jake is his advisor, actually, and he has come in to the United States, Washington, D.C., and then he finds out exactly what it is when you're dealing with Washington and the power. That's not what causes the power surge, but there's a lot of power up there, and talk a little bit about what Ben did to get us there. But Ben, thank you very much for being with us here today. And as I mentioned in your introduction, you have been writing books a long time.
Yes, my first novel was published in 1959.
And have you always been interested in science fiction, like when you were younger, reading sci-fi books?
Actually, what did it for me was my first visit to a planetarium.
Okay.
I grew up in Philadelphia, and the Fells Planetarium is one of the best in the country. The first time we went there, they turned out all the lights, turned on the stars, and man, that turned me on too. So I've been involved and interested in science, exploration, space, and this eventually led me to reading science fiction stories.
Our listeners might be interested in what kind of science fiction do you read? Do you have particular authors, or did you read like comic books?
I read the classics, Heinlein, Asimov, Ray Bradbury, Arthur Clarke, and I was lucky enough eventually to make friends with each of those giants. They were wonderful people, and the stories they wrote dealt for the most part with real science and real people. And that's what I try to write about, where science and politics interact. I think that's a very interesting area.
Let's talk a little bit about Power Surge. How did that come about? And I just want to point out to our listeners that you talked about a planetarium, and early in the book, you write about the planetarium that was created, and this man dies, and there are people at his funeral, and the young man is really saying, you know, if it wasn't for this man, the planetarium wouldn't even exist, but here they are playing it down.
Yeah, yeah. People take a lot for granted, but to me, a planetarium is just about a sacred place. I don't know how many people have been turned on to study the stars, or at least just appreciate them by visiting planetariums.
And I think it's interesting, I'm not sure about Philadelphia, where you would go, but here in the Southwest, you can go out into the mountains, desert, and the stars, the skies are so beautiful because the city lights are gone.
Yes. I spent part of the year in Taos, New Mexico.
Ah, okay.
And one of the big attractions is the nighttime sky.
Did you write any novels based on New Mexico?
Several of my novels have scenes set in New Mexico. The main action, though, is usually either in Washington or New York, or one of the major cities.
Well, in this book, your latest novel, A Power Surge, I mentioned there's a power struggle going on in Washington, and for this freshman senator and the staff, other people, they're learning that there are certain people that you don't want to get upset.
Yes. You don't cross the committee chairman if you want to have a long career in Washington.
So how did you come about that idea? I mean, for the novel.
You know, it goes back to the 1950s when I was working in a research laboratory, and we were dealing with an advanced type of electric power generator. And in Power Surge, you'll see some references to MHD power generation. This is a way of getting a lot more electricity per pound of fuel that you use. And it's much more efficient than the generators we use today. Today's power generators are just about the same as Thomas Edison built, based on turbines. You boil water, push the steam through a turbine, the turbine spins and generates a magnetic field, and out comes an electric current. Michael Faraday, he invented the machine, which he called the dynamo, back in the 1830s. So here it is, 2015, and we're still using the same technology when there are much better technologies available, more efficient, cleaner, capable of lowering your electric bills considerably.
We are visiting with award-winning author Dr. Ben Bova. Ben is the author of more than 100 books, novels. Some are nonfiction, but he has a lot of series also that he's written. But the latest novel is A Power Surge. And it's interesting, as you mentioned, that you were thinking about back in the 50s and how it is that you can create the power, yet we're still doing the same old thing. I think in the book you hit it on the nail, though, because there's always somebody is going to be against you, because then you're going to take money away from them.
That's right. They're not going to take power away from them.
Exactly. Now, tell us a little bit about this young man who goes to be the advisor, and then also about the senator. Tell us a little bit about their character.
Well, Jake Ross is a youngster from a bad part of town, and he was befriended by the director of the planetarium, who changed his life, who turned Jake into an astronomer and a scientist. Jake winds up being the science advisor to a young Kennedy-like politician who is running for the U.S. Senate. And with Jake's help, he gets elected to Washington. Once in Washington, he wants to do something that will get him noticed. Jake draws up an energy plan that utilizes the best technologies and the best resources that the United States has, and helps to turn us into an energy-independent nation.
We're visiting with New York Times best-selling author, award-winning author, Ben Bova. Ben is the author of the recent novel, Power Surge. It's very timely, too, Ben, as you're writing this, because of the Iran nuclear deal, the presidential elections, and solar power, everything that's coming up, and the price of gasoline. Is it going up? Is it going down? So you would think that people would be very interested in the novel responding to this. But as you mentioned, again, there are a lot of lobbyists and there are a lot of people who pay money to certain people. And so young Jake finds out that, yes, you can't go in there and make a splash, because before you know it, you could end up somewhere back home or worse.
Yes, there are entrenched powers in Washington and in the corporate world that don't want to change. They're on top and they like it that way. And if you want to make changes, you're going to have to fight them. But Jake learns how to maneuver, how to get things accomplished in Washington despite the opposition. And I guess that's the point of the story, that these things can be done if you have someone willing to do them, willing to devote his life to making changes for the better.
It sounds almost in a way, when I was reading this, thinking about the Jimmy Stewart movie, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and how he's trying to convince everybody, and bless his heart, you know, finally he gets to be heard, but he wipes himself out. And you have been writing for years also about stuff that has already happened, like the 1960s space race. You talked about that before, and it happened. And now this power surge, perhaps, you know, in the future, we will look to that way. But you're showing us that it exists. And some people will say, well, it's only fiction. It's science fiction. But it's based on real things, as you mentioned.
Well, what I write is called science fiction, but I like to think of it as historical novels that haven't happened yet.
That's a good point.
But hang around a while. You know, some of my older novels are history now. They were science fiction when I wrote them, but they're history today.
Would you mind talking about some of those?
Well, the space race of the 1960s.
Uh-huh.
My very first novel, which was never published, dealt with the idea that the Russians go into space before the United States does. So the U.S. launches a crash program to land Americans on the moon before the Russians can get there. No publisher would touch it. It was too outlandish, except that it happened. And by the time it happened, my novel was no longer fiction.
You have a lot of fans. You have a lot of readers. And because I mentioned earlier that you do have series that you work on as well, and some people are asking about the Orion series. Would you mind tell us a little bit about Orion?
Oh, Orion is an avatar of myself.
Uh-huh.
There are points in history, and deep history, prehistory actually, that I've always been curious about. What really did end the dinosaurs? What happened at the walls of Troy? And to investigate that, I created a time traveler, a fellow named Orion, and I sent him to these places, and we see what happened. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but I think the novels are interesting.
This is definitely what you would call historical novel, because you talk about Alexander the Great, Philip, the dinosaurs, Neanderthals. So how much research goes into this, as far as I would imagine, a lot?
Yes, yes. I'm researching every day. I get up in the morning, go to my keyboard, and write. by lunchtime, I'm ready to stop writing and start learning. So I'm constantly looking for new information, searching history, the various sciences, talking to friends of mine. Many of my friends are scientists. So when I've got a question, I know where to go.
You have been living your dream and what some people might call, gosh, it came true, because you got to meet those giants that you read, Isaac Asimov, Arthur C. Clarke, all those guys. So when you got to talk with them, and perhaps I would want to pick their brain and ask them different stories, different questions, tell us a little bit about being around those guys and how it influenced or did not influence your writing.
Oh, it influenced my writing very, very much. Not the writing style so much, but the idea that science fiction can be used to explore the future and to show which way the human race might go. I've always thought of science fiction writers as the scouts who go ahead into the future and send us back reports on what things are like up there, where we should be heading, how we should get there. The problem is, not that many people read science fiction, so we constantly go in the wrong direction. We get trapped in bad territory, and we have to work like mad to get back onto the good path. I think if science fiction were read by the people, politicians especially, we would avoid a lot of the pitfalls that we've had in the past.
We're visiting with award-winning author Ben Bova. He is the author of the recent novel Power Surge. And Ben, you also have written some nonfiction books. Would you mind telling us about those?
Well, again, I write nonfiction books in an effort to educate myself. I worked at this research laboratory in an area called plasma physics. We also dealt with artificial hearts and other medical devices. But basically, we dealt with the physics of spacecraft, especially reentry, coming back from the moon, plunging into the Earth's atmosphere at 18,000 miles an hour. We developed the technology to build the heat shields that protected our astronauts when they returned to Earth. If you go to the Smithsonian's Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C., you see the Apollo 11 capsule where the three-man crew lived for a week. That heat shield was built by our guys and what was then called the Avco Corporation, and it protected them. We got the job done.
We're visiting with award-winning author Ben Bova. He is the author of the recent novel Power Surge. Your website is very interesting, a lot of fun, a lot of different places to click. And one of the places that you have also is articles and also writing tips, which is very helpful to the reader. And also, you know, some people may want to try to give their shot at writing something.
Yes, I think a lot of people have the talent to write. They don't have the knowledge of how to put a story together properly. And that's what I'm trying to impart. There is a craft to writing commercial fiction. And if you don't know the right steps to take, you're probably not going to be a successful commercial writer. But if you want to make money at writing, take a look at my website and look at the tips for writers. I think they will help you.
Do you have a school workshops that you have in?
I have taught at workshops, yes, but I don't have a particular school.
Now, some of these articles that I'm looking at here, The Tradition of Halloween, Faster Than Light, One Long Drive, There Are So Many Human Beings on Earth, and We Go Back a Long, Long Way. Those are very interesting titles, and I mean, just the way they're said and written, it wants somebody to lure you to click on that, especially with the fall and the year, the time of the year, tradition of Halloween. But the one that really intrigues me is There Are So Many Human Beings on Earth. And like some people said, gosh, never imagined that, but you and some of those other authors have been predicting that in writing. And I think there are many critics who, again, say, well, this is science fiction, so it's not really happening. And that's, yes.
No, science fiction not really happening.
Yes,
take
exactly.
A look around you. Look at the world we have built. It was all science fiction once upon a time. We do have airplanes. We do have spacecraft. We have medicines that people couldn't dream of 50 years ago. But science fiction writers did and led the way. So whenever I see an article that begins, it looks like science fiction, but it's real, I just chuckle.
I would think that the genres also have changed so much because readers go to a bookstore now or a library. Well, a lot of people don't go to libraries anymore, but they go on the internet to download an ebook or to buy an ebook. And the genres, they'll put science fiction stories sometimes in fantasy or juvenile literature or something else. And it really doesn't, it's like they don't know where to put it.
I think you're right. I think an awful lot of people take a look at the title science fiction, and that word science sort of scares them. They feel that they wouldn't be able to understand the stories. But to my mind, if you write a story that people don't understand, you've just wasted your time. I want people to know what's happening, and I try to write it my stories so that anybody can read them. You don't have to be a physicist. All you have to be is interested in the world around you.
We're visiting with award-winning author Ben Bova. Ben is the author of the recent novel Power Surge, and Power Surge is an interesting novel that it brings us back to Dr. Jake Ross, but it's from Power Play earlier. But this is about Washington, and it's very timely because of what's going on in Washington right now and the fact that Dr. Ross here finds out that it's very difficult to work in the city, and you have to know who to talk to, who to pat on the back, who not to pat on the back. And it's just something that people read about, and they say, that can't be real. But again, this is when I was reading this, it's almost like you were sitting there in the Capitol and watching everything.
Yeah. The rule of thumb is when you shake hands with somebody in Washington, count your fingers.
Well, I think Harry Truman once told his wife, if you want to have a friend in Washington, get a dog.
That sounds like Harry.
Yes. And I like the quote that you put in your book, Ronald Reagan, I believe.
Oh, yes.
Would you mind sharing that?
I think he said, politics is the second oldest profession, and I have learned that it bears a lot of resemblance to the first oldest profession.
And, you know, some people say, well, that's very true. And after watching debates or whatever they were watching on TV, they're going, yes, this is very interesting. I want to talk a little bit also about you're constantly working, you're constantly writing, and you have another book coming out soon. Would you care to talk about that, Death Wave?
Well, Death Wave is part of a long series of science fiction novels that I've written. My readers dubbed the series the Grand Tour of the Solar System. But I've run out of planets in the solar system, so I've moved out to the stars. And Death Wave is about what we find when we first move out into the stars and find a big interstellar threat, a natural threat. There's been an explosion in the center of the Milky Way, and a wave of deadly gamma radiation is spreading throughout the Milky Way and killing everything it touches. So we've got to learn how to protect ourselves from that, and what's more, how to protect other civilizations that aren't as advanced as we are, don't know that they're facing death, have no way of dealing with it unless we help them.
We're visiting with award-winning author Ben Bova. Ben is the author of the recent novel Power Surge and soon to be out, Death Wave. Power Surge, getting back to that in the Washington and what you're dealing there, you have almost like a character for anybody there. So if whoever's reading it, they can identify with somebody in that novel.
Well, that's nice of you to say. Thank you.
You're welcome. Did you know that when you were writing that, or are you like some writers who just start writing and they go, all of a sudden, the characters are controlling me, not the other way around?
That's when it's good, when the characters start acting on their own, when you're surprised every morning. I think it was Frederick Pohl who said, if I'm not surprised at what's coming up on the page, how is a reader going to be surprised?
That's a good point.
Yes.
Where did you get your early writing, Ben? Did you go to a school and take creative writing courses?
No, I studied journalism.
Okay.
At Temple University in Philadelphia. And the journalism majors turned up their nose at the English majors who studied creative writing. You want to know about creative writing? I was paying my bills in college by working as a copy boy on the Philadelphia Inquirer, Philadelphia's morning newspaper. And one day, one of the older editors took me for a walk behind the building into a neighborhood of working people. And there were working men coming home from their day's work, sitting on the front steps of their homes, reading the newspaper. And some, you could see that reading was not easy for them. And the old man turned to me and said, "You want to write for newspapers? You've got to be able to take the most complicated things happening in the world and write it so that those guys can understand it." And that is writing. That is what it's all about, communicating ideas, no matter how complex, getting the ideas across from my brain to your brain.
You bring up a great point there, because especially if you're writing about space, the stars, sometimes there's some complicated books out there. And I think it's when you're in academia, you are supposed to use big words. And when you're a journalist, as you mentioned, you have to decipher everything that those big words say. When you're writing your novels, what I found, I mean, it's not difficult. It's not like I have to go back and look up a word. So some writers are that way, whether it be history, whether it be fiction, whatever. They have something in there that the reader has to take time out to go out and look something up. And that's not the case with you.
Well, I'm not trying to show off. I'm not trying to make it a contest between the writer and the reader. I'm not trying to show how smart I am, because I'm not. I'm a fugitive from newspapers. I'm in love with science and high technology and politics. And I'm trying to write stories so that any reader can pick it up and understand it.
As you're mentioning about interest in science and journalism and politics, would you mind telling us, sharing with us perhaps your ideas of where we are now in science and the space race? And unfortunately, the shuttle has stopped, but there are other things that we can do. What are your impressions, Ben?
I think we're on the verge of beginning to use space to make life better on Earth. We have explored the territory. You know, compare it to the American expansion across the Western frontier in the 19th century. First, we sent out explorers, Lewis and Clark, Zebulon Pike. What is there? What have we obtained? And that's what we're doing with our unmanned space probes, the one that just went past Pluto. They're scouts. They're sending back information on what's there. And what we have seen from these scouts is more wealth than the human race has ever had at its fingertips. Wealth in the terms of energy and raw materials, more raw materials than the whole Earth can provide us. We have an abundance out there, and it's time that we started using it. Private companies are organizing and beginning to utilize the resources of space. The first thing we've done is communication satellites, and satellites that observe the Earth. In another generation, we'll be building factories in orbit. We are going to move the industrial operations into space and help turn this planet into a clean, green area. In real estate terms, planet Earth should be Class A real estate for people to live in, not to dig up, not to transform into smog-ridden cities, but to make it clean and green.
As far as, you know, science fiction, whether it be space travel, whether it be the dinosaurs being extinct or whatever like that, are your books aimed at young adults? Because there's a new genre now, and they're calling young adults, and they're like 13 to 16, something like that.
Yeah, the first novels I wrote were for young adults. And then I found out the young adults are just about as smart as the old adults. So I write for the general public. But any person, regardless of age, who is interested in learning about what the future can bring, the opportunities and the problems, can read my novels and get a glimpse of a possible future.
We've been visiting with award-winning New York Times bestselling author Ben Bova. Ben is the author of the recent book, A Power Surge. And Ben, as we were discussing earlier, your webpage and Facebook or author webpage, do you have a particular site that you want to let our listeners know so they can find out more about you and read some of those articles that we discussed?
Oh, sure. My webpage is just www.benbova.com. And that will unlock the wonderland of my brain. He said modestly.
Very good. Well, we want to thank you very much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with Dr. Ben Bova. He is a six-time Hugo Award winner, and he is the author of the recent book, Power Surge. And this can be a standalone book, right, Ben?
Oh, yes. Any one of my books can be standalone.
Well, again, thank you very much for being with us, Dr. Ben Bova.
Thank you, Louis. You're
welcome.
You're a very good interviewer.
Thank you. Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Norma Martinez. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.